Vamos dar aqui, rapaz. Tinha até o HD aí, o rapaz. Na pet aí, os rapaz. Mato Jojo, Dakota, aqui, rapaz. Just want to shake everyone's hand with a good heart. My name is Leander Russ McDonald. My Dakota name, my Indian name is Mato Jojo, or Whistling Bear. I come from both Spirit Lake Dakota Nations and the Rikara Hidatsa Nations of the Mandan and Hidatsa Rikara people. As far as family, I'm married. We have two grandkids that are living with us that are our niece's kids, and they've been staying with us now for about a good 8 years. Good kids. They go to school here at Theodore Jameson Elementary School. My education background is I graduated from Fort Taunton District School back in 1981. I was valedictorian of 27 of us seniors. I went into service after that for about 3 years, and then about 7 years after that, I went back to school. I was working for a janitor for a while. At that time, a security guard, a blackjack dealer, a roofer, temporary employment, doing a lot of different jobs. But I was cleaning these offices where I was working, and a lot of non-natives working for us at the tribe. And I started thinking that, you know, and getting to know those folks, is that I didn't think that the jobs were they were doing it, that I, or I thought that I had the capability in order to do the jobs that they were doing. But here I am cleaning their offices on our reservation. And I think that's kind of a motivator for me to go back to school. And so I went back to our tribal college, which at the time was Little Hoop Community College out at Fort Totten. And it took me a while to get back into school. It's kind of like if you don't use it, you're going to lose it. And that especially happened with math. And so although I was good at math in high school, that had been at that time now about probably about a good 9 years after high school. And then, but went back to school, and took me 4 years to get a two-year degree. Was kind of running around yet, getting into making some bad choices. And as a result of that, that was reflected in my grades for that time. And grades that that carried through and kind of ended up being with me all the way through my undergraduate programs. And so I never did really get it back up there. I think I graduated with a 3.14 GPA. But if I didn't have all those Fs in those first couple semesters, I probably would have been sitting a little bit better. And probably would have been eligible for more scholarships too during that time, even though I did pretty good. And I think what happened is that when I went back to school is that initially I was kind of having a hard time funding-wise, but as I got into it and learned that system, I was able to make more money going to school than I was working in those jobs that I was telling you about. And so after I was getting ready to graduate with a bachelor's degree from UND at the time, then I, which would have been 1997, the guy I was working with over there. And I was doing some research. I was a scholar for the McNair Post-Baccalaureate Program. And they didn't pay your, they paid your tuition and fees and books. And then they funded you to, for 8 to 10 hours a week to do research with someone. And so when I got to UND, they said, go find somebody that's doing research and ask them to be your mentor. So I didn't know anybody over there, so I went back to the advisor at Sociology where was advising me. And he just happened to be doing research on Native American elders. And so he agreed to be my mentor, and then he said, I went there in the summer. And he said, but I can't meet with you till fall. He said, because I don't have a house here, because this is that here that it flooded up there. So I'm going to assign you over here to the Social Science Research Institute, and there you're going to be able to do surveys all summer. Which was, at the time, I didn't think see the application for that, but it was a job. And so then, and I think all the way through is that I worked and went to school at the same time. And so that really kind of helped us out family-wise. Once I got done with the undergraduate in the 98, I was graduating, met the requirements, and my boss I was telling you about, he said, well, I wrote you into a grant, and if you stick around, he said, and go on for your master's, we'll pay all your tuition, and you got to pay your own fees and books, and then we'll give you health insurance, and we'll give you $1,100 a month in order to work half time to continue this research work. And so $1,100 was still a lot of money to us, but back then it was more money than I had ever made working full time in those jobs I had been doing. So that was really good money for us. And so my wife came back to school at the time with me. I was there up there by myself, and she ended up getting into school. And so then I ended up in a master's program. Took me 2 years to get that done. Then I went into a PhD program, and I finished that one up in 2003. And I worked for that one. I went to school in the night times, and I worked during the day. And so, every time I got a degree done, different doors were opening. So when I finished the master's, they offered me a job as a research analyst to continue to do the work that I was doing, and start paying me $33,000, which I thought was a lot, which was a lot to us. Again, and we're just continually jumping in regard to pay, and I just want to talk about the influence of education on getting paid. So as I got more degrees, my finances got better. And then my wife was going to school, and she was getting done. Then she started working, so now we're both. She finished up with the bachelor's and a master's in public administration. I finished up with the bachelor's and master's in sociology and a PhD in educational foundations and research. And as a result of those degrees, we ended up making a little bit better money, and that helped us in regard to our family. So the education ties in with the employment. The other part of it, we had health insurance, and as a result of being in those jobs, and then we also had some retirement, which was kind of a new thing for us. And then because I was a veteran living up in Grand Forks, and a lot of veterans don't get to participate in this, but the VA home loan program is that on a reservation, they won't loan you, back then they weren't loaning you money for if you had trust land. You had to have fee land or tax land that had been taxed. And being up in Grand Forks, we were off the reservation, and all of that's tax land. And so when we went to go buy a house, we used the VA home loan program, and I was able to, my wife and I were able to get into a house without any down payment. And all we had to do was pay the closing costs. And the guy that was selling the house was trying to get it sold right away, so he paid half the closing costs. And so we were in pretty good shape, and then we just went into monthly payments. So that's how we ended up buying our first house, because of VA. But veterans, our Indian veterans, we don't get to participate in on a reservation because of the trust land piece. So, and I believe that VA has been working to correct that, and several other funding agencies, HUD, has been trying to help these veterans to participate in that more, and to recognize trust status as or trust land as land that's eligible for loans, home loans. So important piece of that. Eventually we end up going back to Fort Totten, and now Little Hoop Community College is now Changadeska Chikana Community College, is how they say it, and over there. And then so we went back there, and I was tribal planner for a little bit, for about a year or so. Then I ended up at the vice president of academics at Changdeska, and ended up working there for about 5 years. And then I went into politics for about probably about 15 months. I came in on a recall when the chair was recalled at that time. I came in, and then I was recalled. You know, so, and I think what was happening is that, I don't want to speak too much about the chair that I came in on, but on my own recall is that, we were making a lot of changes fast, and I think that people were not wanting change right away, and they were slow to change, and I think they seen that, and weren't used to that change coming that fast of what I was trying to do, and I just figured I had a short time in there, and to do as much as I could, and so as a result of that, I think I kind of scared folks, and that's one of the reasons why they. Voted me out, but the one part that I will say on that is that from what we understand, and it wasn't just me, but it was the secretary treasurer, it was the chief financial officer, and it was the directors of the tribal government, is that for the first time in the history of Spirit Lake Tribe, we had a clean audit. We had a clean audit for that time, so. I'm not going to say anything bad about anybody. I'm going to stand on that in regard to the work that we did for the tribe at that time. And that's not just my work. It was all those people's work that were buying into this style of doing things. Not who you're related to, not who your last name is, but your own work, your own hard work yourself, and recognizing that and making everybody accountable. And I think that's we need to continue moving that direction in regard to our tribal governments. As far as where I grew up at both Spirit Lake in my older years. In the younger years, we lived over at Whiteshell, and where my mom's from, and we lived there till second grade. The third grade, I started school at Fort Todd, so those are kind of the years there. So both those are. And I remember my grandparents more on my mom's side, but because we lived out over there. And then as we got older, on my dad's side, I knew my grandpa on that side and my uncles and aunties. So we kind of got a mix of both in regard to the culture and understanding of those cultures. And when I look at both the cultures, I don't see too much difference between the two. You know, there's a lot of similarities. We respect our elders, we respect our veterans, we love our children, and we hold them in high regard, and we try to be good people. On either culture, that's why I see the similarities between those two. And on the other side, if we want to look for differences, I think there's differences in all things if we're going to look for them. So I think we always kind of remember what Sitting Bull told us, and is that take what's good from whatever you're encountering and kind of use that to your to help yourself. And in better words than that, but those that's how I remember that. So those two places where I grew up, and we always had strong family, always had around our relatives and going that way. As far as what I remember is that culturally is that on my mom's side is that my uncles were all singers, and a couple of them were, my grandpa were announcers, and then my grandpa was a tribal chairman and actually died in office over on three affiliated tribes, and he actually died at our house, you know, so and it wasn't so it kind of wasn't too long after that we moved to Spirit Lake, so I know that was a kind of a hard time for the whole family. But they were all singers and dancers, and then they were all in the service on that side. So we kind of remember them that way, and always joking around, and always having a good time, and so we like to joke around about stuff all the time. Sometimes maybe it's inappropriate, but I think that's how our people have come through the hard times, the struggles they've had, is through our humor. And we've persevered over the years because of that. On the Fort Totten side, our Dakota side, is that over there, same thing. Our relatives always joking around, kind of like visiting all the time. And you know, people would come to visit back in those days, and they didn't just come and stop over for the evening. They would stay a couple of days, or stay a week, and or stay a month, you know. And so, I remember those things that way. I remember everybody having gardens back then, and everybody having to help out, and everybody like we had to pull weeds and stuff, but sometimes you caught hell. If we didn't pull the weed, we pulled that plant instead, you know. So so there's things like that. I remember people everybody hunting all the time, and so there's things like that. Horses, being around horses. My dad had horses and cattle for a bit there, and so I remember those things in regard to growing up. And then I think about the cultural side of things, not just the powwow side of things, but also the spiritual side. And to tell you the truth, I don't really remember sweats or anything like that too much prior to probably about the mid-70s. And maybe it was the Civil Rights Movement and the Self-Determination Act and Indian Education Act around that time when I look back. But all those things occurred, and that you know, it was pretty much illegal for us to practice our cultural ways until then, but people were starting to practice them anyway, regardless of the law. And so you've seen a lot of sweat start coming up, and so we ever start being exposed to that back then. And so those are on the cultural side, but I come to an understanding now the importance of that in regard to our everyday lives, in regard to our spirituality and prayer, and the importance of those things in regard to where I've come, where I'm at today, is that I had a hard time with alcohol and drugs coming out of high school and being in the service. And that's why I was kind of delayed there. And that's why it took me 4 years to get a 2-year degree. So I've learned, you know, but at the same time, I look back at those things and those hard times that I come through, and the times I was in jail and the fights I got in, and some relationships difficulties that I had, and I realized that all those things that I came through have made me who I am today. So those things, I'm sorry for those times I may have hurt anybody, but that at the same time, if I learn from those things, that today I know that I don't want to go back to that lifestyle anymore, but instead I want to have a good relationship with the Creator, and live and be a good man. And if I do that part, then He's going to help me to take everything. He's going to take care of everything else for me. He's going to help me with my wife and my relationship with my wife, who I've been married to for now for 19 years, going on 20 years, and been sober for 21 years. And so all those things are a result of that, building that relationship with the Creator. And then because of that, I don't worry about my relationship with my wife. I try to treat her good, and as a result of that, she treats me good. And then and I try to be a good parent, grandparent, because I'm trying to be a good man, I'm able to do that. I'm able to be a good provider. So those are the things that I think are the foundation for everything else. Everything that I've shared with you is a result of that. And then and the Creator's been that that mainstay for me, that gave me that the strength and the wisdom to make decisions that were beneficial to myself and my family. And so that's would be my recommendation to anybody that's having difficulty out there, to look that way and to pray, and that those things are will the Creator will hear you, and will put the things in your way that you need in order to succeed in life. You know, I would say, well, geez, God, I really need a new car. You know, but God might not want to, might not think you're ready for a new car, but might give you a car. And I think the thing is that we have to recognize is that when we're ready, then those things are going to be granted to us and given to us at his time, not ours. So, and there's a reason for us that we might not get that new car, but that's in His wisdom and not ours. So we recognize that and we realize that, and I think that those are the things that I see today as important for me to in regard to where I'm at, what I've come through, and where I'm gonna go. So we look to the future, we look to the vision in this position as of the president for United Tribes Technical College. Is that where are we going as a college? Where is God taking us? Where is God taking this college? And I feel that his guidance in regard to the decisions and how things are coming together. We have a good workforce and things are coming together nice, and we've really been focused on our students, because that's what we're supposed to be doing. We're an educational institution, and so our main goal is to make sure that that's happening before we do anything else. And it's been going very well. So I'm appreciate the time to share a little bit. I appreciate Lorraine giving me the time to share just a little bit on regard to our myself here, and how things have been going for myself and my family. You know, mataka.